All right, here we go. It's time for another episode of The Ticket Studs. Today, we're going to be drafting movies from 1973 to 1976, the most arbitrary, random window of time.
It really is, isn't it?
We should have just done the whole decade. I agree. In retrospect.
No!
Why do you say no?
Well, that's what you get when you let Salimi pick a topic. Right.
73 to 76?
73 to 76.
There's a reason.
It's not even like an even five-year split. Like
no, but...
At least it wasn't like 1939 and 1945, the films of World War II.
The 70s is too much. That's the entire decade. In it, I told you when I picked it, I stopped at 77 so that there would not be Star Wars, and I started in 73 because I couldn't remember when the first Godfather came out. So I knew it was 71 or 72.
You nailed it. It was 72.
Yeah.
So I the only I memories he has.
I just want to clip the part where you go, the 70s is the whole decade.
Right.
Yep, you're right.
You know what? That's he is not
much.
Wrong.
That's too
Put that
much.
On his tombstone.
That is a great part.
All right. Drafting our order in the one spot again. Jeff Arvin, drafting second, myself, Kashner. Third is Salemi, and on the turn at four is Littell.
What up?
Normal categories like usual, blockbuster, comedy, action drama, thriller, misunderstood, wild card, and Oscar nom.
Excellent.
So, do we want to go ahead and just write Jaws down?
Or? I actually already did.
I think you drafted it three times, right?
I've drafted it as many times as I am capable of drafting it, and I shall continue to do so.
Which category?
I'm going to take it in Oscar.
Okay.
Yeah, so Jaws in Oscar. I mean, I've talked about it a lot. It's one of my absolute, like, top two, maybe three movies of all time. I just love Jaws. I love it so much. And it just makes me happy that I get to take a Spielberg here. And even if Littell steals everything else that I ever did, he can't take
up some
Jaws
old
from
drama.
Me. And so it's great. It's fantastic. And I'm taking Jaws here. So...
All right.
I'll save us some time.
I was going to say, we've already said what there is to be said about Jaws.
Was that the movie about the hot dog eater?
Yeah.
Carter.
Carter. That's what it was. Yeah. Coach Carter.
Coach
the hot dog eater. It's got jaws of steel.
Okay, I'm up with the second pick. Usually I'm drafting later than this, so this feels weird.
Hey, wait, I have a question before you go. Is it... We can do... It's not just one movie per year, right?
No. Okay. You can pick them all from
all the same year if
yeah,
I wanted to?
Just
okay.
That range.
Okay.
I just figured that if I picked a singular year in the 70s, it would be way too hard for you or for Kashner. There's just no way.
You don't
way
think
you
we're smart enough?
I don't think. I think you would have had to stretch what you've seen.
Mm.
No, it's true. That's there's all. I was talking to Littell before we started. There's so many movies that I'm interested in seeing, I just never have.
Yeah, right. There's a bunch.
And when we get to the misunderstood, it's going to be tough because I've seen a bunch of crappy movies that have come out in my lifetime, but you don't go back and watch crappy movies from a previous decade.
Right, no. Yeah.
So
no. Your frame of reference is not quite as big.
Yeah, the ones I've seen are like some heavy hitters. So with the number two pick in the blockbuster category, I'm taking One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Great movie. That was in my top three.
There's quite a few Oscar noms in this range. A ton, actually, with all the random, you know, supporting actor from a random movie. They really add up. But blockbuster for me is a little thin. Cuckoo's Nest. Jack Nicholson probably towards the height of his powers. I mean, 75. Five Easy Pieces was 70. Easy Rider was 69. So this was kind of like his peak before, you know, The Shining comes a few years later. It's just so amazing. So many great characters. Danny DeVito, Brad Dourif.
Love Danny DeVito in that movie.
Oh, man.
It really says something about an actor when you genuinely hate their guts. And Louise Fletcher as Nurse Ratched.
She's an amazing villain.
There's a reason it swept all five of the big category of the five Oscars. It, you know, picture, actor, actress, screenplay, director. I mean, it's amazing. Chief, a wonderful character. His redemption.
Chief is so good.
What happens to, I can't remember his name, but Brad Dourif's character, you know, he sneaks the girl in.
Yeah.
And then
yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. It's just so heart wrenching. It's such a good movie.
The She's up there with like,
makes him feel about the whole thing.
Yeah. She's up there with Joaquin Phoenix and Gladiator for me. It's like
Joaquin?
Hateable.
Oh,
just hateable people.
Yeah.
Like cruel. Yeah, I agree.
Cruel also, is a good word for her.
She is.
Yeah.
Have you all seen Always Sunny in Philadelphia?
Mm-hmm.
There's a really great callback episode in that show to this movie where Danny DeVito is he's like just on a bunch of drugs. He gets put into a mental asylum with
he's Martini.
The same kinds of people.
That's his name, right? Martini.
Yeah, Martini.
All right, Salemi, you're in third. Let's go.
I am taking. It should not be a surprise for to anyone, I think.
Dracula.
I'll go with Blockbuster, and I will take Godfather 2.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
That's it's almost like he picked these draws. Years just to do that.
I did not. I intentionally tried.
So weird.
If you, if hand to God, I never would have been able to tell you when Godfather 2 came out, but I assumed it was in that time frame, but that is not why.
Do you know who directed it?
Martin Scorsese.
Yep, that's it.
Spike
nailed it.
Spike Lee, I know is not Spike the right Lee. Answer. I definitely know it's not the right answer. No, this is, I think we would all agree, the only sequel that's better than the original.
I agree.
Maybe Empire Strikes Back?
I'd put Empire there.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd put them there, for sure.
Yeah, it's just, and the way they weave the two stories back and forth, going present and future. Hey, how you doing?
I'm going to hand it off.
I don't care. The backstory, the origin story that they weaved in with the current state of affairs is awesome. And then what happened to poor Fredo, I never saw that coming. I thought there would be some sort of...
You're breaking my heart.
Yeah, it's really well done all along. And there are a lot of different twists and turns in there.
Also, young Al Pacino just goes crazy in that movie. So good.
Yeah.
Castro would disagree, but...
Robert De Niro is fantastic in the movie.
Also, yeah.
I do not disagree with the young Pacino in The Godfather. I just have said Al Pacino is an overrated actor.
Really?
On the whole.
Well, that's all right. Hey, I feel that way about Jack Nicholson, so...
Yeah, you've always thought he was overrated and kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, very, very much. I think he does well in creepy parts.
There are a couple of movies, especially in this decade, where I think Pacino is amazing. But for the most of my life, it's just been him being loud.
I don't disagree.
And I'm like, it's not for me. But again,
I don't think he's had a bunch of hits over the last 20 years. Heat.
Did you not see Ocean's 13?
Hey, no.
I think Al Pacino for the last 20 some years, similar to De Niro, similar to Nicholson, they've just lived off
the Irishman.
Who they are.
Don't bring De Niro into this.
I'm not saying there aren't hits here and there. I'm saying as a whole, their best stuff was from
Did you really think I didn't like Heat? Did I really get you?
We really did think you didn't like Heat. I was like,
there's no
you don't like Jojo Rabbit. So when you said you didn't like Heat, I'm like, oh my God.
They are pretty similar.
really burned that credibility bridge.
I thought we might do a podcast of movies Cashner dislikes that we are all shocked by.
Actually, that would be
an interesting idea, actually.
A new segment is you guess if I like it or not. Oh, and then take side bets.
That'll be a little break.
Yeah, no. When you said that about Heat, I was like, how do you not think that's a good movie?
All right, Littell, on the turn, you got two picks in a row.
Woot.
Dude, you guys took...
Took you so long to get here.
You took three of my, top five movies.
That's how the draft works, man.
That's okay. I'm pretty sure you're about to stab me in the face once at least, so go ahead.
Okay, well, first off, I'm going to take comedy, and I'm going to take Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Mm, good choice,
Yeah, that movie gets some gut laughs out of me. Real big belly laughs all the time. There's so many good bits. Yeah, I really like the hand grenade, the holy hand grenade to kill the beast, which is a flesh-eating rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
Just good stuff. What are some other good things in that movie, you guys?
What year did that movie come out?
75.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that cast, that whole classic Monty cast, just is so good together all the time. I don't know if I like this one the most or Life of Brian the most.
I like Life of Brian.
Life of Brian's pretty great. Yeah,
they're pretty great.
The premise alone is pretty damn funny.
I agree.
Life of Brian.
There's something real simple too, just about the coconuts to make the horse sounds that it catches me off guard every time. And yeah, it's real sweet. I've seen this movie so many times. So many times. That's about all I got to say for that movie. I think it's just kind of great.
It is. It's funny. Monty Python, basically, I think they do a better job of piecing their skits together to make a funny movie than SNL does.
Oh,
I'm trying to piece their skits together to make a movie. Yeah. It rarely works. But Monty Python, they make it work a lot more often, I think.
Was it in Monty Here's Python? Another
podcast idea.
SNL skits that actually worked as movies.
Whoever List has is first
Pinheads. Wayne's World. Pinheads.
And...
Yeah.
That's it?
That's about it.
Is that the only one?
There are not a lot off the top of my head.
I mean, not at the Roxbury, obviously, but...
Oh, jeez. I'm trying to think if there is an actual other good one. Oh, MacGruber's funny.
MacGruber is awesome.
Salemi hates it.
You hate that. It's stupid funny.
It's absolutely insane, but it is stupid funny.
That scene with the donkey, you don't laugh. You don't laugh at that.
I'll give it another try, but no, I did not think
I mean, it's got Val Kilmer in it. It
does. Yeah, as the villain.
I did not enjoy
it. Is that Will Forte?
Yeah.
He's so funny. He's
hilarious. The game has changed, but the players are the same. All right, Littell. The comedy's gone.
We got started as a Monty Python talk and quickly devolved. I'm going to go ahead and take my Oscar pick because, I mean, it's just got to be Rocky, right? Like, Rocky.
Oh, Salemi.
Rocky to me is.
I wasn't
the camera
that.
Slowly falls.
I wasn't going to pick Rocky. I know that's a surprise, but I wasn't.
I picked this in our Best Picture winners draft as well. I think it's the best sports movie ever made. For so many reasons, like seeing his process, his work ethic in that movie is insanity. Like how hard this man pushes himself to be a good fighter. And the fact again, that he loses, the fight at the end is the most poetic thing I've ever seen in a sports movie. And Sylvester Stallone wrote it. How is that possible? How can that man write this movie? It doesn't make sense to me. And like, the sequels are decent, especially the second one. And after that, it kind of really falls off. I think Creed as a series is way more consistent and good. Yeah. But this first movie, I think, is untouchable. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get how Sylvester Stallone could write such a good movie. Like, this was his pet classic. Project forever.
Why are
like,
you disrespecting Stallone, man? What do you do to you?
There's just no way he can
He's
write
just
this
a
well.
Terrible
this
writer. Moron. He can't write his way out of a box. But.
This man started with Rocky and is now doing Expendables. That's all I'm saying.
He has to hang out with his friends and make millions. I would.
It's great. There's nothing like this.
Apparently, you didn't watch.
Boy, are they terrible! Though.
What he's doing now, it's. Tulsa King.
Yeah.
But didn't he do this similar because like Matt Damon and Ben Affleck did Good Will Hunting. Like, we're not getting roles we want, so we'll write something we want.
I think that's right.
I thought that's what Stallone did too.
Wasn't there a trade involved too with Rocky? Like he would do something as long as they would let him make that as the next film.
Yeah.
I don't remember what it was.
So what's great about that, and this actually plays into your how could Stallone make such a good movie, he parlayed this into the Saturday Night Fever sequel, Staying Alive, which is one of the worst movies ever made.
Oh, okay.
He wrote that, and it was as bad as it gets.
Oh, did he?
Yeah. I didn't realize he wrote that.
Yeah, and then I think the next thing he did would have been First Blood.
Yeah.
The first Rambo.
Which is also an awesome movie.
Yeah. Mm.
It felt like he had stuff to say back then, and now he does not.
Didn't you have Over the Top on VHS?
No, but I remember watching Over the Top more than once when I was a kid, man. Hey, you got to turn the hat backwards, too. Like, that's when he gets in the zone.
When he gets the lip all the way down there.
Also, the fight with Apollo Creed at the end is so beautifully shot. Like, it is visceral, their punches that they're landing on each other. Like, it feels like they're messing each other up big time.
Dude, we're talking about Over the Top, all right?
I know, but...
You're also selling arm short wrestling? Mick. Mick is...
Wait, oh, is that the Hulk Hogan coach? No. That's no holds barred. Sorry.
Also, Adrienne as a love interest, I think, is so good, because she's just, like, a girl that he likes.
Yo,
she's
Adrienne.
She's just a lady in his life that he really loves.
Yeah,
she's not like some supermodel hottie or whatever. It's like, no, this is like real love.
It's just a regular girl from the neighborhood.
Perfect movie.
Yeah.
Like an actual perfect movie.
It has so much heart.
All right, Salemi, you've taken your blockbuster. What do you got next?
All right. What did I take? Oh, blockbuster. My bad. I'm sorry. Sorry. I am going to go with comedy, I think. Yeah, I'm going to go with comedy. And I'm going with 1974, the original The Longest Yard,
with Burt Reynolds. I like that movie a lot. Yeah.
That movie's funny. I don't find the Adam Sandler one nearly as amusing.
Well, I think what makes the first one so good is that, like, that whole last scene that's just the football game is, like, very well done. Like,
yeah.
It's really good.
And I know it's not prison, but I think they give the impression that these are prison guards and prisoners more than the remake did. And when the guard lets him come through, like, don't block him, I'll get him, and he keeps throwing the ball into his cup. And he keeps wobbling back to the huddle. Like, the huddle's breaking and he's getting into the huddle. I like that movie very, very much. It's a humorous film. And then at the very end, I really was wondering, is he going to shoot him? Is he
going to kill this dude?
Yeah. What's he doing? Why does he keep walking away? Why is he not listening? Love that movie. And I watched that with my dad on some random Saturday night when it was on TV. Like, that's all those movies. Basically, every movie I have on here, I pretty much watched with my dad on a Saturday night.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Prime Burt Reynolds was a different beast.
Oh, man. Yeah.
He made a lot of money making movies that nobody should have made. They're just not good. Gator. That's a bad. There are so many bad movies he made, but people are paying them. So what the hell? What are you going to do? But Longest Yard is one of the few movies he made where it was good, and he didn't really have to be anything other than his cocky self. Like, he was an athlete in college. He was a big time athlete, and all he is just being his cocky self in that movie. So yeah, that's it for me. Longest Yard comedy.
All right, I'm up. I have a pick.
Yes, you do.
We'll allow it.
Vetoed.
For my Oscar pick, I'm going to take Dog Day Afternoon.
Oh,
good movie.
Oh, dang it. Another Al Pacino.
Yeah, for an Al Pacino hater, you're kind of...
Again, giving him all the praise. The 70s was his era, man.
It was definitely...
I'll give you that.
Yeah, before he became
if you have a whole decade that's your era, are you overrated? Question and answer. Don't know.
I think so.
Did you like him in Glengarry Glen Ross?
I've never seen that.
Oh, really? Man. There's some good one-liners from that movie.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's a great cast. I just haven't seen it.
Is that Alec Baldwin, too? Is that
him? Yeah.
Mm-hmm. He kills in that movie.
Kevin Spacey's in it.
Yeah.
Baldwin's got some of the best lines.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coffee's for Closers and
ABC's. So Dog Day Afternoon.
Jack Lemmon's in it.
What's the guy? Yeah. Who's the co-star with him? Because I really like him, and he died young.
John Cazale.
Yes.
Don't think he made a bad movie. It was Dog Day Afternoon, the Godfather movies, Deer Hunter, and then he died.
Wow, dang.
And his girlfriend was
Meryl Streep.
Meryl Streep. Yeah. Yeah. They were big time boyfriend girlfriend. Which, yeah, he's an amazing actor, and I don't think he did anything bad.
No, and this movie is my favorite of his. I mean, they're all, obviously he didn't have a ton, but they were all heavy hitters. But this one I really enjoyed because it's just like, it's kind of like a bottle episode of a TV show where it's all filmed in one spot.
Right.
Wasn't he Fredo?
Yes, yeah, he is. He's Fredo as well. Yeah. Yep.
Just such a good movie.
No, the relationship that the two of them have is very interesting. How one relies on the other and... Yeah, it's a really good film.
Arvin.
Okay. I feel really good about my list so far, too. I hope you guys are enjoying your lists.
So much gold.
So I'm going to go ahead and take my comedy, too, because we're on a run of comedies here. So I'm going to go with, I think, Mel Brooks' best movie of the 70s. I'm going to go with Young Frankenstein.
Did you see me taking that movie? Yes. Is that what you were worried about?
Yeah. I was a little worried you might actually take it from me.
I love that movie so much, but I think it's in my heart, I just love Monty Python so much.
Yeah.
It was like this one, that one, or Blazing Saddles.
Well, and the great thing is you actually could have taken it in Blockbuster. You could have taken it in Oscars. Like,
true.
Yeah. It's in several categories. So it's like... Oh man, I really hope it lasts to my second pick. So that's the downside of getting Jaws so early. I had to like really sweat it out. So Young Frankenstein. Just you know the accents. Igor is just fantastic to me. Madeline Kahn is classic, and just Gene Wilder. Like Yes. I love Gene Wilder. Like, he's
It's
fantastic.
Just such a likable cast.
It
I've
is.
Been in love with Madeline Kahn since the first time I saw Clue and everything else that I've seen her in.
She yeah. Drop dead
amazing.
Gorgeous.
Amazing.
She's and amazing. A great and she's actress. Hilarious. So funny. Like, yeah. Her comic timing is insane. I mean, just, she's fantastic.
Oh, yeah.
I think I know the answer to this, but big fan of gag reel, blooper reel stuff.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
This is the first movie it's not the first gag reel I ever saw or blooper reel, but it's the oldest movie that I've seen that has a blooper reel.
Yeah.
And you can find it on YouTube. It's so funny.
Yeah.
Watching Gene Wilder break.
Break.
Yeah. Oh, it's so good.
I'll have to check that out because I don't know that I've seen it before, but that's awesome.
There's probably something that's older that has a blooper reel, but that's
the oldest
one.
I feel like Mel Brooks did that a lot because there's one for Blazing Saddles too. So it's like,
yeah,
I think he just liked that.
That makes sense. I mean, yeah. You like save all that because you never know what you're going to find in the edit. And
well, you do so many takes
too.
And they do different right. ad-lib jokes.
Absolutely.
That there's so much cutting room floor stuff.
Yeah. That used to be one of my favorite, like when DVDs were first a thing, right? Like if there was a blooper reel on there, that would sometimes that would be the first thing I would watch when I popped in the DVD for the first time. Is just like, let's see how it got made. You know, I just mm-hmm. I find that stuff fascinating. So
every yeah, Adam McKay movie.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Because uh-huh. it's him shouting out lines and them trying it.
Oh my god! Yeah,
that the version of what you're talking about, like for Anchorman,
yeah.
is unreal.
And they made an entire other Anchorman out of all the unused lines. And there's an entire other cast. Like Maya Rudolph was in that movie and didn't show up in the actual movie, but she's in Wake Up, Ron Burgundy. The whole other movie that they made out of the edits of that.
Yeah. I did not even know this is.
It's like an hour and 26 minutes
There's
long.
I so
have it on DVD.
Is it just a bunch of bloopers or is it? Did they really?
It's basically
sew
like
it together
no. There's
like
a
movie.
Whole other plot. Like yeah. the panda that's giving birth at the zoo. Mm-hmm. There's a whole plot that revolved
it's
around
technically
that.
Technically deleted
look
scenes.
Into this.
Yeah. Yeah,
all right.
The stuff that they didn't use
and
the first.
Yeah, it's there's a whole other news crew that you never see as part of it. It's
hella funny too,
and it actually works. Like it works. No, as a little exists. Bit there's a little bit of like connective tissue that they use maybe like 5 minutes from the actual Anchorman, but then they put that out there and it's crazy. It was like a bonus if you pre-ordered it at Best Buy in like I don't know 2005 or six or whatever.
I'll have
it's
to look
crazy.
For this.
Were you gonna say something before
Young Frankenstein?
Yeah,
is there a comedy of any that ends on a better note
than putting on the Ritz?
Putting on the Ritz at the very end. Like, it really has nothing to do with the rest of the movie necessarily.
Nope, not even
just,
a little bit.
Here's what happened to him in life.
That's another, like, Mel Brooks flair, I think. Because Blazing Saddles also has, like, that whole show production at the end that's like, well, okay, we're doing this now.
Yeah.
This took a wild left turn.
Yeah.
Here we are.
What is that actor's name? By the way,
who's Frankenstein's monster?
Peter Boyle.
Yeah. Peter Boyle, thank you.
Yep.
And he is not, I don't think he's in any other comedy in his life, is he?
The Bride of Frankenstein.
Everybody Loves Raymond.
Show. But I'm talking about movies. Like, he normally in movies, he played a tough guy.
Yeah, he was either the bad guy security guard or he was like a crooked cop or something like
right.
that.
Right. He was always a hard nosed person. And then he played Young Frankenstein.
Yeah.
He played Frankenstein. Like, I know he's not supposed to be comedic, but it was still an odd thing to see. It was a little jarring that he was cast that way.
Next it's pick. Also pronounced Frankenstein.
Frankenstein.
Yeah.
I apologize. I should
that's
have done
okay.
that right.
No, that's okay.
All right, Arvin.
So that's my comedy. And then I'm going to go ahead and fill in my blockbuster here. And that's where I'm going to take Blazing Saddles. No, I'm kidding. I'm going to leave it for
back
somebody. I feel like somebody needs that. So I'm actually going to go ahead and take The Sting.
Oh no! Dang it!
I love The Sting. Oh, I love that movie so much. It's fantastic. So,
oh no, my heart.
That's a sequel, by the way. That really is bad. So,
The sequel to The Sting. Yeah, yeah.
But The Sting is an amazing.
What is the sequel called?
Sting 2.
Oh, God.
I think it's just Sting 2, and it's Jackie Gleason, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah.
I remember seeing it like way back in the day, but yeah, I've never ever revisited.
Gooder and Stingier is the, the second title.
I will give you $1,000 if that's the tagline of that movie. Gooder and Stingier, the Sting too.
But no,
that's
Paul
terrible.
Newman and Robert Redford. What a duo, dude. Like, oh my gosh.
Just fantastic. Yeah.
And the charisma they both share the
like,
whole
that's like
time.
Two movie stars just doing their thing.
Yeah.
I mean, for almost 3 hours. Like,
just being handsome, man. Charismatic, pulling off some heists.
Yeah. And I don't know. I just love it. I've always really had a soft spot in my heart for that movie. And I maybe saw it, like, the first time I saw it, I think I saw it a little too young. And then revisited it in my 20s, and I was like, oh no, this is amazing. Because yeah. I didn't like it when I was a kid. Like, I think I caught it on a Saturday, and I was like, what is this? Like, what is going on? It's way too long, and there's way too much talking. And, like, it turns out, 12-year-old me was an idiot.
The opening scene, when they take the mobster who's running the money, the black guy who's on the ground, Luther, you know who he is in real life. Like, he's the dad of...
No.
Anybody?
James Earl Jones.
James Earl Jones.
Really? Wow.
Yes.
That's Robert Earl Jones.
Wow. That is James Earl Jones' father.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I read about that, found that out after James Earl Jones died, and I was reading different obituaries and whatnot, and I read that. I was like, mind blown.
Huh.
So I knew it wasn't, but in my head I had James Earl Jones as that guy, but they look so similar and their voices are so similar, and it's obviously... Why?
You know what threw me off kind of in a similar way? Do you know who Maya Rudolph's mom is?
No.
Minnie Riperton.
I don't... Who is that? I'm sorry.
Minnie Riperton?
Yeah. Do-do-do-do.
You know that song?
I do not.
She was
it's
a famous...
It's the really high-pitched line.
Yeah.
All right, well, on the way home, I'll Spotify that.
You know the song. There's no
I
way
probably do. It. I just... I don't realize this. Yeah, but Paul, going back to the sting, that might be my favorite, and I love...
Ooh,
Paul Newman.
Your it favorite might be my Paul Newman movie?
It might be.
Oh. It's a good one.
When he is when he's playing cards in the in the train, acting drunk. That's that whole scene, and he's mocking the mobster. Like all this, I love that.
Yeah.
It was fun.
Have you guys seen Spy Game?
Yes.
With Robert Redford and Brad Pitt.
Yeah.
That just shows you that there are just people that were born to be movie stars. We can just put a camera on them and just kind of watch what they do.
Their presence is
and
like,
it's interesting. I mean, that
It's the presence, because Robert Redford, I don't know that he doesn't make any choices that stands out as like, oh wow, that was a really interesting role or whatever. He's just in a lot of good movies, and it's
he's captivating.
I just want to watch this guy.
Yeah.
And then Brad Pitt's got the same charisma, and so you kind of have them have the Paul Newman factor there, but you have, it's like, oh, I got two Redfords now. And it works. It's really good.
Have you ever seen Sneakers?
Yeah.
I love Sneakers.
It's like Spy Game, but comedy.
Yeah.
It's such a fun movie.
I still give it to Cool Hand Luke, I think, for best Newman.
Oh, yeah.
Butch Cassidy is also very good.
Yes.
Well, there's a difference between a Paul Newman movie and a Newman and Redford movie.
That's, I mean, I agree.
They're a... Really,
that duo is crazy.
How many movies did they do together? Just off, does anyone know? Is it just those two, or did they do a series of movies together?
No, they had more.
Okay,
were they in Hudsucker Proxy together, or is it just Newman in that one?
Redford was just Newman.
Redford wasn't in it. All right, I'm up. I've taken my Oscar. I've taken my blockbuster, and now I'm going to take my action drama thriller, and I'm going to take The Outlaw Josie Wales.
Oh, you son of a bitch.
Oh, you can't say that word on the podcast.
On my list. That's the only Academy Award movie I put on my list. I thought nobody would take that. Are you serious?
It's such a good movie. Why would I not grab it?
It's a great movie.
It's great.
Have you even seen? Are you doing this just to mess with me?
Did you look at my list?
It's the only movie I have on the Academy because I was so certain. Someone's going to have to open up that.
This is how I felt about Littell last podcast.
I just. Oh my God.
Don't do that. Give it back.
I honestly was going to wait till the end.
To rip it up a little bit.
To even draft it, because I thought, well, no one's going to take The Outlaw Josie Wales.
You were wrong. What a fatal mistake on your part.
I'll get some inner peace here. Go ahead. What would you like to say about The Outlaw Josie Wales?
I look forward to watching it. It looks like a good movie.
I hear Clint Eastwood's in it.
No, that is one where... Do you want to talk about
I want to give me
the camera real quick, because I think we really missed a gold mine not getting Salimi's face when that happened.
It never occurred to me that anybody... I don't think we've even ever talked about this movie. Like, you and I. So I was certain that you hadn't seen it. I was pretty sure Arvin's never saw it.
Oh, no, I've seen it.
Oh, yeah? It's an amazing film. Go on. Go ahead. I apologize.
I had it in two versions of my life. When I was younger, it was a similar situation with my dad. You know, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday morning, whatever it was, an old movie is playing on TCM or whatever. Outlaw Josie Wales was one of the first ones. That was the first Clint Eastwood. And I want to say True Grit was my first John Wayne. I remember that vividly, watching that with my dad. And then in college, my two roommates, Sam and John, they enjoyed Westerns too. And so we had Jeremiah Johnson, Outlaw Josie Wales.
Robert Redford.
I mean, it was that era of film we just had on a loop. And I absolutely love it. I did do that on purpose because I knew you were going to take it next. And I really wanted it.
Well, thank you.
So now I kind of want to see what you do for Oscar.
There are so many great Clint Eastwood scenes. Like, if you've seen Unforgiven, right?
Yeah, I love that movie.
So you know that the end of the scene when he gets his guy, there's like five of those scenes in The Outlaw Josie Wales.
That sounds awesome.
There's just, it tracks Josie Wales from when he was a farmer. And when I say track, like, there, some of these scenes are, the farmer scene's no more than 5 minutes, I bet. And then he joins the rebel army.
Say it shows the passage.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And then the rebels surrender, and then his life after. But there's just different moments where he gives the comeuppance to somebody who has it coming.
Oh, man, that sounds like just a good movie to have on. Whenever.
And it's one of those, the cliche of riding off into the sunset, like that's where that comes from. It's just really so good.
It's like a perfect movie to show if you owned a bar.
Yeah.
You just put it on that TV.
It's like
you walk in at any point.
The essence of a Western in that movie.
I'm not kidding you. I don't think there's ever been a time in my life where if I'm flipping through channels and it's on, I don't care where it's at in the movie, that I'm, all right, I'll just watch this now.
Yeah.
And like, I'll call my dad and tell him, hey, Outlaw Josie Wales is on, and he'll do the same thing. Every Saturday night, WGN, every Saturday night, either 10 o'clock or 10:45,
and there's
and
no
I don't
Cubs
know
game.
Why it would start at 10:45 at night. Yeah, there's definitely no Cubs
the
game.
Cubs aren't on.
There's no lights at Wrigley then. they played a Western of some sort or another. Or they'd play like a movie like Sting. So all these movies I sat and watched with my dad, and Outlaw Josie Wales is probably one of his. He's a big, the spaghetti Westerns that Clint Eastwood made, he loves those too. So
yeah,
I'm not going to speak for him and say Outlaw Josie Wales is his favorite, but is definitely my favorite and the only Oscar movie I put down. Oh, well, the Oscar will just be blank this time.
You can tell you really liked that movie because you talked about it a lot.
A lot more than Cash did.
Even though Cash picked it.
I knew I didn't need to.
It's funny as well. Like, there are some funny scenes in that movie.
Mm-hmm. Too bad it's not yours, right?
You're up. Somebody.
Yes, I am. So, let's see here. What shall I take?
Did
what
you
shall I
look
take?
At some of the
what is
Oscar?
Your?
He's just lost.
Where
now.
Are your Oscars at on here?
They're the ones that are shaded.
Oh, shaded. You know
can,
what?
You can still take The Exorcist.
No, I'm not.
Midway's up there.
I am going to take, because it is on my list for Blockbuster, so I'll take it for Oscar. I'm going to take American Graffiti.
There you go. I love that movie.
Yeah, that's an excellent one.
That's Ron Howard. That's a young Ron Howard.
Yes.
Movie,
right? Yeah. Harrison Ford.
Yeah.
So let me, do you know who directed that?
You should.
Steven Spielberg.
You're close.
Close. Very
Mike
close.
Lee.
His best. No. George Lucas.
George Lucas.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I was probably not going to get to that.
It's kind of like Dazed and Confused.
I honestly didn't like think you would.
What, American Graffiti?
Yeah.
Yeah, sort of, because it's interweaving everyone's stories in
that
one night.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like a snapshot in time. This is what life was like here.
Yeah.
At this time.
It was,
and it's still, like, when you watch it, I mean, that's how I always feel when I watch it. This is the way life was, and it was accurately portrayed. I feel the same way about Dazed and Confused, and that I can understand better or connect better. I mean, American Graffiti was before my time, but as far as what life was like, what they're portraying, but it's really well done. I like that movie.
And it's cool that a movie like that exists because it's the precursor. I mean, it's the reason why we got Happy Days. And so that's why we're able to get a look into that time. You know, because like if you watch Leave It to Beaver, it's like that's a 50s show, but it's like idyllic, not real.
Right.
And not that Happy Days is like hard hitting, like right. True Life or whatever. But no, it's like an actual view into that time, kind of like how Grease was. Grease was 78, but it showed a really great, you know, late 50s view of what life was like.
Yeah, for kids, you know.
30-year-old high school students.
Well, they're graduating high school in the movie, right? That's the whole thing.
Yeah. And a couple of them could pass as being...
Right. Yeah, like these 28-year-olds playing 16-year-olds and stuff.
Richard Dreyfuss struggling with what he's going to do, and then he's going to go to the Vietnam War. Who is the young girl in the car with Harrison Ford? She's the daughter of the Mamas and the Papas. She starred in Day at a Time, the sitcom One Day at a Time. She was in this.
Mackenzie Phillips.
Yes. She's like 14, 15 in it. Like, she was one of the few people. And when you watched it, you're like, you look like you're in middle school, which I'm pretty sure Harrison Ford mocks her about that. That's what pisses her off. But she ends up riding around that night with Harrison Ford. It's a clean. In the other part too, I don't know what it's rated, but it could probably be rated G. There's not a single
PG
cuss word in that movie. I bet
it's rated PG.
PG. Yeah. I don't know what the purpose would be or why it could have occurred. Wolfman Jack's in the movie too.
Maybe some themes, some adult themes.
There are some adult themes. Yeah.
All right, Littell, you've got your Oscar and your comedy taken. What do you got next,
dude? I don't know. God. The pool is just getting smaller and smaller for things that I want to pick.
And I've seen.
I will definitely. I don't even know how I label this. Would you call this a drama or a thriller? Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna pick my thriller here. I'm gonna go ahead and pick up Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Ooh.
I think that movie, especially for the budget, I think it was made on less than $1 million. Something crazy like that.
Easily.
Yeah, it was like 100,000-200,000 maybe. What you get out of that movie is one of the grittiest, horrific, like
scariest,
realistic,
yes,
just crazy killers I've ever seen in a movie. And I love too that it's kind of an allegory for like America during the Vietnam War. Because, like, the whole point is, like, I don't know if you knew this or not. He was trying to get across the idea that, like...
I was scared most of the movie. I didn't get anything other than fear. I got a lot of fear when I watched that movie as a kid.
Well, it's supposed to be, like, the American government is, like, purposefully killing its own people by going to this war. Like,
right.
This is how we're feeling. Like, you're sending us to die just for whatever. But, yeah,
is Leatherface the government?
Yeah, okay. Basically. But that scene when they're just all sitting at the family table is like that. I have that image burned into my head. They're such freaks.
I don't know how many different Chainsaw Massacre movies there are, but that
140,000. Wow. It was made for $140,000.
Oh, there's not 140,000.
It's not even $1 million adjusted for inflation.
That's nuts.
Yeah, that. It is the scariest of all of them. I mean,
the original?
It is, and sure. Really doesn't show much.
It's
you have to picture what's happening to these people.
Yeah.
Although,
which is scarier.
Yeah, it really is.
Old girl just hanging from the hook, though, is like, dude.
That's bad.
And she's there for so long. She's just hanging. And yeah, also the promotion. Like, people thought this was real, like that this really happened.
Yeah. I remember the story that this was based on a true story. And
right.
You're like, oh my God, what?
Right. Leatherface.
All that.
Yeah. And just the ending, just him just like dancing with his chainsaw as he's killed everyone and one makes it. It's like, Jesus. That movie messed me up because I saw that way too young. Mm-hmm. I was pretty scared of Leatherface for a long time.
It left an indelible impression upon you.
Yeah. Also, I think they used Ed Gein, that serial killer, for a lot of the inspiration to make Leatherface. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, really disturbing. Just a really disturbing, scary movie.
All right, Blockbuster, Misunderstood, and Wild Card. What's your next pick?
Dude, you guys have taken all my movies. Okay, I'm going to go Wild Card, and I'm going to take Assault on Precinct 13. It's one of my favorite John Carpenter movies because... I just love how simple... He's so good with, like, small sets.
You
like,
really love John Carpenter.
I do love John Carpenter. Yeah. He's probably my favorite horror director ever. But his sets are always so small. Like, the place, the environments, the scenery is always so condensed to just one location.
Like Escape from New York City.
Yeah, like New York City. Real small locale. But, like...
It's tiny.
But, like, Halloween, it's just, like, a part of the neighborhood.
Yeah.
Like, the thing. It's just one base in Alaska. I think this is one of the most claustrophobic, especially for what's happening, because like this police station just gets swarmed by villains, and like it is tense the whole time. Like there's maybe 5 or 10 minutes at the beginning where you're figuring out these are all the people, here's all the players, and then boom, hits the fan. And I think it's LA, right? They're in LA.
What are they?
I thought it was
New York in Precinct 13.
I think they're in LA.
I don't know.
I don't remember where.
I thought it was New York City, but it's been a while since I saw it. So
you might be thinking of Escape from LA.
That would have been
that might be it too. Yeah.
Which is after Escape from New York.
But no, I mean they're literally just cops fighting a street gang that are descending on their precinct.
Los Angeles.
And they get the criminals.
You're right.
The two criminals end up helping, but there's also a cost to that.
Yeah.
Yeah, really good. Really short too, if anyone wants a really good Halloween or just thriller movie.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd say it's Halloween, but,
no, but
it's a good movie.
Yeah.
I would suggest anyone watch it for sure.
It's really tense.
All right, so Lemmy, Misunderstood, Wildcard, and Action Thriller Drama.
All right, I'm going to go with Misunderstood because I only have two on my list for Misunderstood. It's hard. And I really do like this movie, and I watched it with my father. Rooster Cogburn.
Never heard of it. What is this movie?
You've seen True Grit.
I love True Grit.
That's Rooster.
It's like Rooster a sequel?
Yes. And it's John Wayne and don't tell me. Dang it. It was just Katharine Hepburn.
Wow. And people didn't like this movie?
The score on Rotten Tomatoes, 45%.
Wow.
45%. I don't know how that's possible for a John Wayne movie, but thank God for people having bad taste that they don't know any better because I get to pick it. And it's not as good as True Grit. I don't even know if Rooster Cogburn's based on a book like True Grit is. I'm guessing they just capitalized on the fact that True Grit was very popular, made money, so let's go with this.
Yeah, but just a few years later.
Yeah, the fun, most of the movie takes place with John Wayne and Katharine Hepburn going around the countryside to go after the bad guys and just their conversation. Like, she's a Bible-thumping individual whose husband has been killed by these bad guys, and Rooster is still drinking hard, cussing hard, shooting anything that moves, and just their conversations throughout. A lot of fun.
I know we've talked about this before, but I think also just like a remake that's better than the original. Just that original True Grit.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's better, but it's as I enjoyed it as much, like the fun aspect of it. And Katharine Hepburn does a great job in the movie.
Roger Ebert from 1975, his review, 1 star.
Woo!
Whoa. 1 star. For John Wayne and Katharine Hepburn.
Yeah. And if I'm not mistaken, Robert Duvall is in this movie as
Robert Duvall? Man, I've never seen this movie.
Can you... I think Robert Duvall's in the movie. He plays one of the bad guys. I'm trying to think of a couple other people. There's a young Indian that is on Long for the Ride with Katharine Hepburn, but it's not played by anyone in particular.
By Indian, do you mean like a Native American?
I do mean by Native American. So, an John McIntyre?
No, Robert Duvall.
No, I bet he was in the original True Grit, and that's why I'm getting it confused.
You're just making stuff up.
Well, there's that too. As I go along. No, there isn't. Man, and I tell you what.
Cogburn, though, so he's got that.
Yeah. Huh. To be honest with you, I would have bet just about anything that he was in it, too. Hmm. He must have been in the original True Grit. That's why I'm getting confused.
It's sad seeing you, like losing you to dementia like this.
But the good thing is, I won't remember it. I'm not going to remember.
Well, that got real, real fast.
I'm looking forward to when you come and visit me and you play these podcasts back so I can...
It's a way to
relive
remember.
It. Yeah, yeah.
I'm going to get a t-shirt made that says, I took Outlaw Josie Wales. Never forget. All right. I'm up. And similarly, I'm going to go Misunderstood because, again, there are so many movies from the 70s I haven't seen. I haven't seen a lot of the bad ones. So I'm going to go with The Man with the Golden Gun.
The Man with the Golden Gun.
Well, I'm mad at you.
Which
if I
surprised me that that's a it got a rotten score. Like I kind of wasn't even close. But yeah, no, it's Christopher Lee, which you're getting like
I love
all time great as Scaramanga, the the baddie. You've got, I'm trying to think, is this the first Roger Moore?
I wouldn't know. You know me and James Bond.
Yeah.
Pre-2000 doesn't exist to me much.
But either way.
Well, because Live and Let Die was also...
That's the first.
73? I think Live and Let Die is the first one.
And then this one's the next year.
Yeah. Because
they came out...
74. But they were like right... They're real close to each other.
Yeah. So yeah. Live and Let Die is Jane Seymour.
Yep.
Yeah. It's also a Paul McCartney with Wings song.
It sure is.
I know trivia.
Look, I'm contributing to the conversation, guys.
Well, it was the theme song to the movie, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Paul McCartney's song.
It was.
Okay.
It's actually originally it was a Guns N' Roses song.
Yeah.
Turns out, originally.
I did
pretty
not
sure
know
Axl
that.
Rose wrote that.
As big of a Guns N' Roses fan as I am, boy. That is a song they should never have remade.
I forgot that remake existed until you said that.
It's bad.
Oh my gosh.
It's not as bad as Knocking on Heaven's Door.
No.
Oh, that's
boy.
Horrible.
Heaven's I don't even like the original, but I hate that even more. The Man with the Golden Gun. The Man with the Golden Gun. Is this a James Bond film? Because I've never seen this myself.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I've never seen this. Man. So this is a James Bond film, and who is James Bond?
Roger Moore.
He's
Roger
a spy. Moore.
Roger
okay.
Moore.
Not he's a spy. Who was playing
he
him?
He works for MI6.
The next time we do this, I'm sitting next to Littell so I can punch
just
him.
Just like throttle me.
That's fair.
James Bond is targeted by the world's most expensive assassin while he attempts to recover sensitive solar cell technology that is being sold to the highest bidder. Christopher Lee is Scaramanga. He's the bad guy. And the golden gun, one shot, kills you.
That's right.
All right.
Which you would know if you had ever played GoldenEye for Nintendo 64.
Yeah, that game is crazy. Is that where that comes from, that movie?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's where who the golden else? Gun comes from. Herve Villachey? The plane boss.
Oh, you too. Know what? Wait a minute.
He's,
maybe I have
he's
seen
he's
it.
He's Knick-Knack.
What's it? Oh, that's his name. Knick-Knack.
Maybe
oh
I have God. Seen what
a, he's tattoo Knick-Knack. On Fantasy Island. He's Knick-Knack and
Knick-Knack.
Man with the Golden Gun.
I was trying to come up with that, and I was like, oh.
The old days when you could put short people in films and make fun of them for it.
Well,
you don't get to do that anymore.
Like in Bruges.
That's right. It's a different world now.
Fucking Bruges.
There's another edit for cash.
You can't mention that movie and not say that.
Yeah, no, that's fair.
Yeah.
I opened the door.
I wanted to do it, but...
That's such a great line in that film.
That also 5310 cash.
Yeah.
Okay.
Arvin, you got two picks. Action, thriller, drama, Misunderstood, and Wild Card.
Well, I'm pretty sure you're not going to take my Misunderstood, so I'm just going to leave it alone. So what I'm going to do instead, I'm going to go with, let's see here. I think I'm going to go action, drama, thriller.
Fat City?
No. No, although... I also don't know what that is.
people love it.
Do they? That's really good, people. I'm going to go with All the President's Men.
Ooh.
Another Redford.
Yeah.
And just a great story, like really brought history alive there, like something that you wouldn't think could be as interesting as it is, really turns out to be kind of amazing. So... Yeah, that's my pick there, I think, is All the President's Men.
Dustin Hoffman, too, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's the one I feel bad I haven't seen, but I really, I really want to see that one.
It's a good one. It's good. It's worth your time. It's worth your time. I think it's really cool to kind of get like that behind-the-scenes thing, and especially for, you know, someone who wasn't aware of that scandal really until I got into college and started like learning more about Watergate and all that kind of stuff, like... kind of getting the inside story of it in a really cool, dramatic reenactment.
It's kind of rare to have a movie that close to the actual event and be that good.
Yeah.
Because you'll have movies that try to capitalize on, like, after 9/11, how many World Trade Center movies
were there? Oh, my gosh. There were so many.
Really bad.
Yeah.
But this is...
They got Diddy movies out already, or Diddy documentaries,
whatever. Do they really?
Yeah.
There's something.
The 50 Cent, 50 Cent paid for it. And he's got, like, a really huge one that just came out.
That doesn't surprise me.
I think Argo is kind of the same
quicker.
I feel like Argo is a good similar thing about the stuff that happened in the Middle East that was made pretty soon right after.
Mm-hmm. No.
No.
It wasn't made right after, though, right?
Argo. Because like, that was in the 70s.
Did it.
Yeah.
Oh, no. That's the Iran hostage crisis, right?
Argo. Isn't that what Argo's has to do about? With the Iran hostage crisis, which is the 70s.
But it wasn't made
that movie was made in the 2000s.
Yeah. That was 2012.
It was declassified. Yeah. Information was declassified in the mid-90s that allowed them to make that movie.
Okay.
Yeah. That's another movie title I can't say without the F word.
Argo?
Argo, F yourself.
Arfgo?
No. No, not at all.
Argo?
Hey. Sure, man. Whatever. You know what? Whatever makes you happy.
It's
a lot of things, man.
So you've never seen all of The President's Men? When you watch it, they sort of created the blueprint for all these other movies where it's based on reporters and there's the newsroom.
Like
Spotlight. Right. Spotlight, I was just going to say.
It's very similar.
Yeah, I don't know if there's a movie before this where they did it like that.
I can't
and
think
it became
of one.
Sort of the blueprint. Like you'll see what, sort of like themes
Network
in it.
Maybe around kind of similar times, Network. But it's broadcast TV, so it's there. It's a little
year?
Different. 76. Was it different? Oh wow, okay.
It's, same year.
I thought it was further apart, but yeah.
Yeah, wow. But you're right. That's broadcast, but it's still sort of the same.
It's kind of the same environment, like the newsroom, and I mean, you know, I assume that's a lot different now. But
I was gonna say that's back when it was
investigating and reporting, and yeah. Yeah.
What's the one?
Like the investigative journalism aspect of it is not looked at as much anymore. Yeah.
What's the newsroom movie in the 80s? It has Albert Brooks in it and Holly Hunter, and it is amazing. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to take a
Broadcast
off.
No, you're, news?
Broadcast
Is that Broadcast News?
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
About the team in New York or whatever?
Yeah, because that's what, when you say network, I always think of Broadcast News as well.
Yeah.
There's similarities, but Broadcast News is far funnier.
1987.
87, okay.
I think it's, Broadcast News is more like in your face funny, and network is very like subtle and dry humor. Yeah. But I will say the ending to Network is ridiculous. Like, shooting this man on
TV
for...
Oh.
It's so good.
All right, Arvin, misunderstood and wild card.
All right, well, the good news is, since my last pick, nobody has picked the misunderstood film that I had picked out. So I'm going to go ahead and pick it now. See, guys, that was a joke because I picked last. Okay. The jokes are the best when you have to explain them. So misunderstood, I'm going to go with a movie, much like Salimi, that I watched with my dad, probably way too much. It was also a VHS tape that we had, so we could watch it whenever we wanted to. Is anybody, you want to guess?
I've got something written down, but go ahead.
Go ahead. Put it out there.
No, because he hasn't picked one yet.
Oh, yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Nashville, nice. It's not. It is Jesus Christ.
Superstar?
Superstar.
God, that movie's
that's
so good.
That's below 50?
It's 50% exactly.
Is it really? Wow. That movie's so funny.
I growing up, you know, it was like a, oh my God, this is amazing. Like, look at these hippies on this bus. And like, just the way that it starts where they're like, hey, let's take this psychedelic bus out into the desert in the Holy Land, supposedly, but it's probably like Arizona, right? Yeah. And then it's like, all right, here we go. And then they just launch into it and they're so serious about it. And growing up Catholic, it was like, this is amazing, but not in the same way I think my dad wanted it to be. But I do have that like memory of like, you know, us enjoying this as a family like several different times, because like my dad was like very into musicals and, you know, all that kind of stuff, and so like that was one of the ways we connected, was like with the music stuff. And so I was just like, all right, yeah, let's give this a shot. And we did, and it was hilarious to me. So I love Pontius Pilate in there too.
Dude,
like, just,
that might be my favorite character in the whole movie.
He's wonderful. I don't know the actor who played him, because I don't know that I've ever actually looked deeper into it. Then when I was like, I wonder what that movie's Rotten Tomato score was, because it was on my list. Let's check it out. And I did, and it was at 50%. And I was like, all right, that's the pick then. That's literally the only one that I put down for misunderstood.
I only wrote one, too.
Yeah.
I was like, if somebody takes it, I'm screwed.
I've got two.
100%.
I'm still waiting to see... I have a pretty good feeling that he might pick it.
He's just not going to take it.
You don't think so?
You guys might have to help me at this point.
I bet he hasn't seen it.
Yeah.
My other Rotten Tomato was...
Oh, man. If he takes that, I'll be amazed.
And technically, it's not even... it was a made-for-television movie.
Right.
So...
Can we take concert movies? Because the song Remains the Same from Zeppelin isn't this time frame.
Oh.
And I was prepared to take it if all my others got it.
Was it less than 50%?
I'd say go for it.
No, I just mean in general.
Gotcha. Yeah, why not? All right. I think so.
If it's a film that came out during that time frame, I think you go for it.
Yeah. All right, cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. All right.
All right, I'm up. Comedy and wild card. I'm going to go ahead and do my comedy now, and I'm going to take Car Wash.
Oh. Well, there goes Car Wash, Littell.
Oh, no. Not Car Wash.
You know who thinks this movie's really, really funny?
Adam Cashner.
My dad. My really? Dad really loves this movie. I know I've talked about my dad a lot, but this is another one that we watched together. I thought it was amusing. That man thinks it's hilarious.
Is it Richard Pryor?
Not a good movie.
He's got like a small role, I think. Is Richard Pryor in it?
He's one of the main guys.
Okay, I'm sorry.
George Carlin. He's the cab driver.
Yeah. My bad.
Which he got to write the scene himself. Richard Pryor, being one of his best friends, said, hey, he's going to do this. And then he wrote the scene or whatever. It's not good, but it's one of those that I loved it growing up. And I'm just so obsessed with George Carlin. You know, since I was 12, I've been a Carlin worshiper. And then Richard Pryor, of course, is just so good.
You really don't think it's good? I think it's good. It's a snapshot of a certain time period.
But objectively, it's probably not seen as like a great movie.
I think anyone who, if there's two people who are listening to this podcast and you say to yourself, I should watch Car Wash for the first time, I probably would not recommend that because I don't think it probably stands up to the test of time.
Probably not.
I think if you watch it today for the first time, it'd be a hard watch.
Watching it with no nostalgia attached would be rough.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's
and
true.
You got to have, because it really, I mean, see, it that's is the a thing. Comedy, but there's a snapshot about life in general that you see in Car Wash.
I was say, because I saw it in college, I just thought it was okay. I wasn't really like, whoa, this is the powerhouse.
Now, did you watch The Wash with Snoop Dogg?
The remake?
Yeah.
Yeah, I did. I think I saw that movie in theaters, actually.
There's no way.
I'm pretty sure.
That came out like 01.
Yeah. I think my mom took me. And
how old were you in 01?
I got to go with my older cousins to watch it.
Oh, my God. So that's funny.
It was also not a good movie.
I like the Hispanic guy of all the people in the car wash.
Yeah.
With long hair. I appreciate that.
Okay, edit that out. Edit that out. We'll never talk about it again.
My pick.
We almost broke our
professional and demure.
I have wild card and action drama to go. So, you know what? I'm going to take for action drama, Bang the Drum Slowly. Have you guys ever seen?
I've never even heard of this.
That's
movie.
All right.
Is this De Niro?
Yes.
And Duvall?
No, it's De Niro and Michael Moriarty. So here's the thing. Michael Moriarty is a stud pitcher for the New York Yankees, and Robert De Niro is an average at best catcher, but they're friends. And when Moriarty finds out that De Niro is dying, and the Yankees are going to cut him. Not the Yankees aren't cutting him because he's dying. The Yankees are cutting him because he sucks. And Moriarty, when he's negotiating his contracts, negotiates in his contract that if they send him down or they cut him, the catcher, if they cut the catcher or send him down, that they have to do the same to him. That his contract status is tied to the catcher's contract status. And the movie's about their friendship, their bond, and at the same time, De Niro doesn't want anyone to know he's dying, so they got to hide that from everybody. And then there's all sorts of comedic things that go on in between. Like, I can't really explain why it's funny. I know that it doesn't, but there are so many comedic things because the manager is trying to figure out why the hell is my ace pitcher tying his contract to my washed-up catcher? And Michael Moriarty keeps making up excuses and spinning tales, and the manager looks into it, and then he comes back, I know you're lying about this because blah, blah, blah. You got to see, it really is a movie that I think stands to the test of time.
When I was doing the research for this, that was one that I saw. I was like, I feel like I would like that movie. I've never seen it. I'm aware of it, but I feel like I would enjoy it. There were a few of those when doing the research for this.
Yeah. It's pretty crazy. It's a prequel to Major League, too.
Did you ever watch Laverne and Shirley?
I love Laverne and Shirley.
Okay. The guy who plays Laverne's father, who owns the pizza joint, he is the manager of the Yankees in the movie.
That sounds like a good role for him, actually.
Yeah.
Because he's got some fire in him.
Yeah. It's a really good film that goes overlooked a lot. Your last two picks here. You have
Blockbuster and Misunderstood, which is really funny.
I'm not going to lie to you. I have no idea what to pick here.
Silver Streak is really funny.
Is Network counted as a blockbuster?
I don't.
Was it on the list?
I don't know.
Oh. How are we supposed to answer that? I don't know what they earned.
You know, out of all of us, you're the one that's here with a laptop.
What do you count as a blockbuster in the 70s? Over 10 million?
We took to 50.
Over 50 million?
Normally it's 100 million.
There's only one blockbuster. So the blockbusters I had on my list are all gone except for one. Sting, Godfather 2, Jaws, American Graffiti, Rocky, The Exorcist, and Blazing Saddles,
King Kong.
A Star is Born.
Oh, okay. Then I'm going to take Blazing Saddles.
Yeah, there you go.
Wasn't that already taken by you for a nope. Oh, no, you were going to.
He took Young Frankenstein. Around.
Yeah.
I did. I actually thought it'd be taken earlier. This is impressive.
Young Frankenstein or Blazing Saddles?
Blazing Saddles.
Same. Yeah. I've kind of thought it was taken. That's why I was...
I'm sorry. I may have faked you out because I talked about it for great. 3 seconds and then this I was like, but Young Frankenstein.
Serendipitous.
Yeah, it is. Nice. Because I love this movie. I've seen this movie so many times. It's either this one or Young Frankenstein for my favorite Mel Brooks movie.
Yeah.
There's just so much happening in this movie all the time. And the way that it ends, awesome. Again, we've mentioned this already, but the whole show production that evolves out of nowhere. To just conclude this movie, untouchable. I think it just plays with like the idea of race and being in the minority group so well.
Yeah,
because that's Mel Brooks's shtick all the time.
I didn't really get that from this movie.
Really? Why don't we dive into that?
Gene Wilder too kind of plays a straight tough guy.
Yeah,
sort of a tough guy. Which is fun.
It's funny seeing him like be the in charge, the head honcho to this whole operation.
Yeah.
Also, I love Mel Brooks in this movie as like the corrupt mayor of the town or whatever. Like, he's such an idiot. Also, so many good one-liners from this movie. My favorite, and it's like super slept on, I think, is just when they're going through the highway, the West Highway. Like Highway to the West or whatever, and they have to pay the toll.
Yeah.
Someone go back and get a load of dimes.
110.
It doesn't help at this point because I've already edited so much that it's no longer at that time. It's going to be at an hour.
That's a valid point.
But yeah.
All right. Good. I cannot wait to see what you take from Misunderstood.
I don't know what to take, guys. I'm not gonna lie to you. There's so many dog movies on here, but I haven't seen any of them.
There's a movie I'm surprised you didn't take, and that's Disney's Robin Hood.
Is that a Misunderstood movie?
It's not. I'm willing to give it to you as just your last pick.
Hold on.
Because I can't believe you didn't take it.
Have you ever seen Rudolph's Shiny New Year with Baby New Year in the big years? The Rudolph animation. You know what I'm talking about?
The Playmated movies?
Yeah. Rudolph's Shiny New Year.
I've never seen the New Year one.
Oh, really? With Baby New Year?
The critics gave Robin Hood 58% on Rotten Tomatoes.
How crazy is that?
That's close enough.
I'm taking it then.
And it is technically a splat, right? I mean, it's 60% or less, so... Technically.
Like, I get it.
Which we can make that the new threshold, 60%. I don't care. Or we can stick with 55. Doesn't matter.
I get that they reused, obviously, a lot of animation to make that movie because, you know, that was just the time for Disney. Mm-hmm. But, the soundtrack to that movie goes crazy. I love all... I have such a nostalgic connection
Little
to
John.
This. Yes, dude. also, Stepwalk. Is that the dude.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, all Oodalalele. Like, oh. Great.
See, that's why I was so surprised that you hadn't taken it.
Well, I thought it was ranked, like, rated way higher, and there were other movies that, like, yeah, this is a good movie, but, like, others rank higher. I didn't realize it was 58%.
I didn't even look it up, because I was like, well, I'm sure that's probably...
Yeah, sometimes you can tell by the IMDb score, because if it's, like, a 7.4, I'm like, that's probably not
Could be. Yeah.
But sometimes, like, the James Bond movie, high everything score except for the Rotten Tomatoes. It's weird.
Yeah, I also love the portrayal of King John whenever he's, like, sucking his thumb.
Yeah.
All right, so Lemmy, wild card.
I'm going to take Murder by Death.
No way.
Peter Falk.
Yeah. I was looking at that. So I've never seen it.
You told us about it, and yes. I looked for it, and I couldn't find it anywhere.
It's like an Agatha. It's like a Clue, right?
Yeah.
It looks great.
Yeah. Peter Falk plays the like Sam Shade type detective. They have a guy who isn't Asian, pretending to be Asian, so he's the Charlie Chaplin guy. They have another woman there who's like Agatha Christie. It's all these great detectives, six or seven of them, all for coming for dinner, and there's a murder by death. And Truman Capote's in the movie, too.
True, okay.
Yeah.
What a cast.
Well, you have to have somebody...
It is wild. It is a wild film.
I was saying, you have to have somebody to chronicle it. Not
yeah.
Capote can do that.
It's sort of slapstickish Mel Brooks comedy. Oh,
man, I feel like I love
But it is. This movie. I like it a lot.
Murder by Death.
The woman who plays the sidekick to Peter Falk, yeah, she's in a variety of movies. You guys would know her if I could think of her name.
Yeah.
Sorry.
No, I know her name.
Not going to help you any.
Alec Guinness?
It is not Alec Guinness.
No.
Oh, it's Eileen Brennan.
There we go. Eileen Brennan.
Love Eileen Brennan.
Yeah.
No. It's Millie Bobby Brown.
I was going to say she played. Maggie she was Smith. In the original Annie.
Maggie
Smith. James Cromwell. There's a lot of heavy.
Oh, yeah. Who's the guy who's the white guy pretending to be the Asian guy so that they can.
Peter Sellers?
No. Is Peter
Sellers? Sellers in the movie too?
He's Sidney Wang.
What? Yeah. No. You know what?
Well, I'm you're right. That is it. Hold up well by today's standards.
My fault. In my head, I was thinking Charlie Chaplin, but it is Charlie Peter Chaplin. Sellers, and they, you know, because that's what they do with Charlie Chaplin.
My Chaplin. God, Arvin, look at the picture. Are of you? This Asian
do you mean
man.
Charlie Chan?
Oh. Charlie Chan. What did I say? Charlie Chaplin.
Charlie Chaplin. So
I meant Charlie Chan.
We need to appreciate
everybody
this.
Really needs to go look up a picture
I
of this.
I wish the people listening at home could see what I'm looking at.
Oh, yeah. It's But that was Cast the whole thing about Charlie Chan movies.
Oh, okay.
Oh, wow. Yeah. It's way over the top.
So when you said Charlie Chaplin, I was like, I don't think you mean Charlie Chaplin. No, I think you mean Charlie Chan.
I meant Charlie Chan movies.
Which I watched all of those with my dad.
Oh, yeah.
Those are
but
so
it's
good.
A white guy that they paint up to be Chinese, and that's... And that's the play with Peter Sellers.
And Peter Sellers, that was his whole career. I mean, I don't think he ever was him in anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, Murder by Death.
Good.
Definitely recommend it.
Okay.
I've got to find it.
It looks interesting, yeah.
All right. I don't know. Yeah, it might be hard to find, to be honest with you.
I'm up. Wild card is my last category. Chinatown still on the board. Rocky Horror Picture Show still on the board.
Yeah.
The Long Goodbye, Philip Marlowe.
Escape to Witch Mountain.
Papillon.
Papillon, yeah.
Thanks, Happy Helper.
But I think I am going... Ooh.
Mean Streets.
Great Gatsby, another great Redford. Foxy Brown. Pam Grier is what I really want to take.
You ever seen Cooley High?
I was just going to say, Cooley High is also High. Really good. I'm going to take Taking a Pelham 1-2-3.
Nice.
Love that movie. Walter Matthau. I love the remake, too. That's one of those rare instances where the reboot, or whatever you want to call it, is equally as good. It's very different, but both are amazing.
I've never
like
seen
the original
this
better, but
could you give me the synopsis?
Have you seen either?
No.
They hijack a subway train.
Like Speed.
And then and then they're going to ransom them off. Like they're holding these people for ransom.
It sounds like Speed.
It is not at all like Speed.
Can the train stop?
It does.
Okay.
And
it's
they
less
negotiate.
Like Speed, though.
Yes.
So
and it's done by actors, not Keanu Reeves. You know.
Whoa.
Actual
like
actors.
The people. Taking hostage of the train are actors?
Yes, and they act. They don't act dazed and confused the way Keanu Reeves does. In
oh,
all
I see
he's
what
insulting
you're,
Speed is
he's
what's
insulting,
still happening here.
Yeah, he's insulting Keanu Reeves.
In the film, the plot is not that actors take over a train, but it's fake.
I thought that's what you were getting at.
The remake,
dear
the
God.
Only thing the original doesn't have is the remake has John Travolta in probably the worst role he's ever had.
Mm-hmm. Worst?
I don't know if I've seen the remake, to be honest.
Have you seen Battlefield Earth?
It's
that's its own different
that
kind of
movie.
I did too, and
bad.
It's awful.
Have you seen Taking a Pelham 1-2-3?
I saw half of it.
He's so over the top, cheesy, scene chewing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it's so bad.
It's like, not great,
but it's still an enjoyable movie. I love
the train can't go under like 100 miles an hour.
Oh my god! Hey, in Taking a Pelham,
I'm gonna delete this whole last thing.
Honestly, all of this can just.
Why did they only kill me?
Can you guys tell that we were doing testing just like in our rooms by ourselves for like 5 hours today?
I just wanted someone to talk to. Really.
We can tell
who's the.
Probably about speed
in Jaws.
Robert Shaw.
Yeah, Robert Shaw.
Shaw's in the original Taking. Yeah. Yeah.
There's a bunch of great.
Oh, there's a bunch of great.
I like Robert Shaw.
Walter Matthau's wife.
Ooh. Yeah. Walter Matthau's great in this.
That's actually why I watched the original one, because the John Travolta one was so bad. I was like, why did they remake this? It's awful. And then I saw the original and I was like, oh no, that's it's much better.
Yeah.
Yeah, the original is really good. Oh, yeah. I don't think I saw the remake. I thought I did until you said that.
I have not.
Are we talking about Battlefield Earth or Taking?
We're talking about Taking of Pelham 1, 2, 3.
You know what? Next time you need to have
We're talking about Speed in the 1970s.
I have that. I'm also thinking about a spray bottle.
Bad.
All right. Last shot collar.
Dear Lord.
Arvin with wild card.
Okay.
Put us out of our misery.
Okay. So for my wild card, I am going to take the inspiration for Mortal Kombat, the movie, Enter the Dragon with
Good movie.
I cannot believe Salemi didn't take this one. I'm really surprised.
I mean, right?
I'm surprised I didn't.
I circled this on my list 23 minutes ago and then just spent the last 8 picks hoping that nobody was going to take it. So thank you all for letting me do that.
Such a great final pick.
I love this movie too. Yeah, like it's it's one of those again. It's a sports movie that doesn't really seem like a sports movie, but
it has
like
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar,
right? And Bruce Lee is just fan friggin' tastic.
20-foot footprint on Bruce's chest when he kicks him. they make him out to be like this spider-like thing, just sitting there and just randomly kicks his foot out and knocks Bruce Lee back. Yeah.
Isn't that weird?
Final scene. Great
how,
scene.
Like, so many people got into martial arts purely because of this movie.
Oh, my God. Like, yeah.
So many kids around the country in the 70s are, like, just doing karate stuff.
Oh, I definitely wanted nunchucks after that movie.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. Well, and so many people did, too. And it's like, why did that become a thing? Like, why are parents buying those for, like, the less responsible children?
That's how I felt about Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
The 70s were a wild time.
You wanted nunchucks after that?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And a bow staff. Mm-hmm. And the...
I wanted all of it.
Whatever that's called that Raphael has. The
Sai.
Yeah. Is that what it is?
That's the Sai.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the Sai. Mm-hmm. Yep.
The thing about S-A-I, Bruce Lee in his movies, and I enjoyed them all as a kid, I couldn't tell you the plot of any one of them because all I watched was we watched the action scenes. I honestly don't know what
tournament.
Enter of the Dragon
it's like
is
Top
about.
Gun, dude. You just
it's
watch
literally,
it's cool.
Mortal Kombat. It's 1996's Mortal Kombat.
And he goes
for,
one floor to the next at the end to wake his way up to the big boss.
No, that's various tower movies.
That's Mario.
Say that's Mario Donkey Kong.
How upset were you in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood when he made Bruce Lee like this?
I will say that is the only part of that movie that I can't stand. I love that movie.
What?
I know we've talked about
parts
this.
Of that movie
stop,
I can't stand.
Stop. We've talked about this too many times. But I genuinely hate the way they portray Bruce Lee.
I cannot wait for the 2019 draft.
I'm gonna pick it, and we can all talk.
We're changing the seat arrangement next.
That's a good movie. That's a good movie. Yes, it is.
Okay, and I do agree because, in all honesty, Bruce Lee. I'm not saying he's a tough guy necessarily, but he was a hell of a lot tougher than whatever those stuntmen were portraying him as.
And
he literally
person.
Did fight. Yeah. Yes, and he was a good guy.
He's not Steven Seagal.
Oh. Yeah, now that was...
That's blasphemy to even put him in the same conversation.
Right?
Yeah, Bruce stole a lot
fully
from
agree.
Steven, so...
All right, well, Enter the Dragon. All nice right. way to end it.
That's I'm definitely movie. Trading you seats next time,
though,
for sure.
Because I'm slapping you.
You know, 100%.
I like my barrier.
I'll be on the camera. I'll just record that.
Well done, boys. Ticket Studs out.
Bye. We love you.